da-da-da-da-da. From Chris and Andy's world, I present The Blue Baggers, a show dedicated to the Carlton Football Club, the old dark navy blues, the Blue Boys. So strap in, crack a tinny, relax, tally-ho, gents.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of The Blue Baggers. I'm Chris and I have the regular Andy here.
G'day Chris, how are you?
I'm very good. And why is this episode special, Andy?
Because we have a special guest in Terry from Blue Abroad.
G'day boys, how are we doing?
We're doing good, well. Good mate, good. Thank you very much for joining us. We feel very fortunate and privileged to have you here.
Likewise. No, the honour is all mine. I've listened to a few of your shows and I just love what you're doing and it's going to be a great episode. I'm looking forward to it.
Likewise with your stuff, Terry. So we're really excited to have you on and talk a bit of Carlton because it's a big year, 2020.
Yeah, we're coming up to a huge year. And you've got the training insight as well. We haven't got into any training sessions ourselves, so we'll be tapping into your knowledge there.
We'll be going to the 15th of Feb, though.
Certainly, yeah. I think it's the family day.
Family day for Carlton.
Yeah, open day family day. We'll go head along.
And see, but yeah, really interested to hear what you have to say about the training. But you do your show with Dan.
Yep.
Obviously, the big question here is, you know, the elephant in the room. Does he know you're here?
I haven't told him.
You haven't?
So I told him I was going to get a carton of milk.
You didn't come back.
Which is a little concerning then, considering...
Because we've seen a car drive past and it looks like Dan's been driving it. And
it's about the 27th time. It's
driving really slowly. Looks like a sad puppy dog, to be honest.
So our apologies, Dan, up front.
Yeah.
We weren't privy.
It's not the way that we wanted it to come out.
So. it's not how we operate normally.
No.
No, it's good. It was an opportunity to come in and, Dan's head down into the stats... creating his next masterpiece.
Excellent.
No, we love his work.
I saw his last work. That must have taken some hours.
Together.
Oh, really?
4 weeks of work going through all the data points and all for, people to start complaining about, where's Brody Kemp? He didn't play this year.
Yeah, well, Chris, you call me the stat man, but I think...
You might be trumped on
I think I
might
be trumped with Dan, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we get into it? What are we going to start with, Andy?
Well, I think, like we said, we've got Terry here. I think you've been to a lot of training sessions this year. So what's been your kind of take from going to the training sessions?
Yeah, I mean, it's been good to be at training. I mean, I've missed the last 3 or 4 years. So to be able to go there and try and pick up on things, and you go to one session, it might not be as intense. And you go to the next one, you see where it's lifted. I think generally around the board, they don't look like little boys anymore. Like I remember seeing footage of like Zach Fisher, for example, with his little headband. Like they're men. Now they're starting to really come into their own. I think guys who I hadn't heard voices from in the past, I'm hearing them now.
Well, that's good.
The Samos, the Fishers again, the Jacob Wiederings, and then even the Sam Walshes to another extent. I think Andrew Russell's got a serious program in place.
Yep.
The way I see training on a high level is it's mental training. The way that they go from one drill, whistle blows, right, running a 400, and then back to the next drill. It's really methodical. And it's been good. It's been really good to see. And, anytime you go down to the old Optus Oval, it gives you that little tingle inside when you're a kid.
It is the best. We just love going back there. We're going to go to the game.
So you mentioned Russell there. How hands-on is he at training sessions? Is he sort of directing, and where's the sort of head coach fit when it comes to pre-season training?
Yeah, so like with the match sim, from what I've seen anyway, Teague's the one leading it. Russell really takes control of all the rehab guys. So really hands-on with Harry and with Mitch to an extent, and Matty Owies. He's right behind them. He's Harry, for example, I was at training last week and, it was the first time anyone had seen him do any form of training. And it was almost like Russell was, standing behind him and walking behind him while he was just doing this jog. And he was like looking at his form sort of going back to the other coaches. Yeah. And it's almost like, and I don't know, I'm just synthesizing here, but it's almost like he's looking at the way his running patterns. And remember with Cyril Rioli?
Yeah.
He changed his running pattern
to
suit his hamstrings. Yep. It's almost like he's doing something like that. So yeah, it's, you know, they have their, they split up in different groups. Diesel runs a skill session and then Teague will run in and he'll just overlook him. Yeah, no, it is good. The boys take the piss out of him a little bit too. Yeah, yeah, a bit of banter there. It's good. It's
maybe,
good.
Maybe they're giving him shit about coaching at Essendon for a while. That was a bit of a dagger in the side, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't good to see, was it?
Yeah.
In that outfit, in that gear.
No, not good. But obviously, you touched on Mackay and Kerno. So it's, are we going to see Kerno this year? It's like you said before, Chris.
The club said you'll miss the start of the year. That's pretty general, and that gets me a bit worried when you hear that. That's going to be the most positive sort of statement or slant they can make. Or
so you know he's going to start playing in June.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I'm not expecting earlier than that, unfortunately.
Nah.
Fingers crossed, but I mean that's a huge. Huge blow.
And what do we think about Mackay?
Is it groin? It's the groin, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, just watching the way he was, he wasn't even going past first gear. It was a waddle almost. And he's almost moving side to side when he's running. It's not like you watch Tom Williamson, for example. I watch when he is running. He's streaming and his legs are really trying to get as much ground. Whereas Harry, it's almost a waddle, and it's concerning. And yeah, he's out there and we've seen him now, but I question how far ahead of Charlie is he?
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all of a sudden we're talking about the two key pillars of our future forward line.
Coming into, was it year five or so?
Yeah.
You know, what do we say? Over 50 games. Yeah,
58 games for Kerno?
Yeah.
Like that. So they should be ready to take the competition by the scruff of the neck. And that is a concern.
And it's hard because, you know, we've got expectation now.
Yeah.
And we're all going to have to just settle down a little bit because these boys are going to take time. We saw Mitch McGovern last year, that non-displaced fracture. Yeah. And you look how far behind he was start of the season. And it looks like it's going to be something similar for Harry and Charlie.
And so, it's going to have to be a big year for McGovern then because we're going to be missing Mackay and Kerno. We've got the small forwards now that we've desperately needed.
He's going to be the number one target at least for the early parts of the season. Yeah. How's he looking?
He's not with the main group either. I hate to bring the bad news.
No, we need to be realistic.
Like he's running laps at a pace, which is good to see.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, he's not with the main group. Now, whether they just want to protect him from himself.
Yep.
I just think when you look at it at a high level, generally the guys that are doing all the minutes with the main group, the simulation, the contact, they're the guys that are going to be ahead of those that are not. And all three of those forwards are not doing match sim.
Oh, so, looks like it'll be a big year for Levi Casbolt.
Levi Casbolt, is he all right? He's training.
No, he's with the main group. That's good. He's going to be a forward to start the year. Yeah. I mean, that's where we need him. That's the role that he plays.
He was awesome last year. I mean, we've spoken about it heaps of times, but he's versatility back forward, and we need him in
top
the forward
five
line.
In the BNF.
Yeah, he's an unbelievable
year.
So,
I mean, but you take two to three of your key forwards out of any club in the competition.
Yep.
It's significant.
We really are cursed when it comes to this. It's always Carlton that get these kind of...
And as we were saying, you don't want to hear about Carlton in the preseason. No, you don't want to hear anything at all because it's never good. You don't want to be pumped up or you don't want articles pumping up the team.
Yep.
And you don't want to hear injuries. And that's generally what you tend to get this time of year. So, that's going to be interesting. Eddie Betts, Jack Martin come into that, but they're not exactly... tall leading forwards, are they? So
And I mean, we need those big players to bring the ball down to them. I mean, that's what they're there for. They're crumbing forwards. I mean, Betts can show that he can take a mark, but we can't make him the focal point of the forward line. It's just not going to work.
That's interesting. Like, how much do you change the game plan based on the injuries you've got compared to what you're actually wanting to achieve with a fully fit list?
Yeah. Well, like, that's it.
What do you do there? Because do you take a bit of a shortcut and change things up? But that might be detrimental to the bigger picture.
I think it might be if you're doing things like that. But, you know, if you're talking about two players that might miss, you know, Kerno's possibly going to miss a lot of football this year. We're going to have to plan for it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Eddie Betts, good example. I mean, he's 33. He's going to be 34, I think, during the season or once the season starts. The one thing he always will have, and he's showing it a lot of training now, is just that ground level work. Where Levi's bringing the ball to ground and he's just on there. And we haven't really had a play like that for a while.
A long time.
Yeah. So that's there. Yep. But we are relying all of a sudden on Levi to stay fit and healthy. I mean, surely he will be okay. You know, so I think the other thing as well, you look at the big three, the Charlie, Harry and Mitch, they've only played 8 games together.
Yeah.
As a trio.
That's crazy, isn't it?
So we've still got to get the three of them, first of all, on the park. Second of all, in the team together. And then third of all, we don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah, that's what, that was going to be my question. What does it look like with those three?
I mean, that's
a tall forward line.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be
work. It's too much.
With Levi, potentially.
I mean, unfortunately, if our backs are fit, Levi probably doesn't get a game.
Yeah.
But he is a great utility because if our backs are fit, if our forwards are fit, that doesn't happen. So he's going to play 22 games based on coming in for injured players if he's just on that depth. But yeah, it is a worry. It's a real concern.
Yeah. Those three playing, it's amazing. I wonder how they went in those eight games, like the win-loss that we had in...
Probably not great.
Wasn't very good.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the
general
first half of the year.
Yeah. considering that, do you consider someone like a Tom DeConning to throw in? Do you try to bring someone who's taller marking or do you work around and change their game plan?
Again, it's going to come down... Probably yes is the answer, but with something like that happening, we as supporters are going to have to take a step back now because if Tom DeConning's playing early games and we're talking about a development role and, is he ready to play a full season, as a ruck? I don't know personally. I mean, he's a great kid and great character, but he's still very athletic and raw. So, we've got a bit of a situation there.
And are we grooming him for a forward line roller?
Forward, ruck, forward.
I think it's ruck forward.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea is he's the cruiser replacement. Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be detrimental to his development because we're, throwing him in the forward line. I don't know.
But it sounds like David Teague's really going to earn his money for the start of the season.
We're going to find out.
whether he can coach you or not, aren't we?
Well, let's talk about 2020. So, are we going to play finals this year? What do we think on that?
Big question. Look, I personally don't. I think we'll just be a bit short. And once again, like we've just discussed, it depends on how long Kurnow's out, how long Mackay's out, and, to what extent when they come back they're hampered with their injuries. But I'm a bit like Dan, I reckon around about 10, I think he had about 10 or 11 or so. I reckon that's where we're probably going to finish, and I think there is an opportunity, everything goes well, that we finish maybe 7-8. If things don't go well, we run the risk of still being around the 14-15 mark. But with hopefully a whole lot of development. But we've been saying that a lot of years, and it is time to really step up. And we looked at that age profile a little bit earlier. Terry was telling us, we should be contending.
We're in the sweet spot, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I mean, with the amount of players that are 18 and 21, we're not those little babies anymore. And I think, further to your point, for a club like ours to do a Brisbane of 2019, everything needs to be right in terms of health. And it's already not. So, finals is a big stretch. Is it possible? Well, yeah, look, anything's possible. But yeah, I'm looking at something like, I'd be really happy with 10 wins.
Yeah.
Really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's about right.
As a springboard, then we go into free agency. Hopefully we can do what we said we were going to do last year and didn't, but whatever, we'll get to that. And then add another piece and see what happens in 2021.
Yep.
But yeah, that is important to keep making that progress, because if you want to attract players, if you stay in the same position, it gets harder and harder each year to sell that. So,
and who have we got at the end of this year in relation to big free agents?
Gosh, well, Whitfield just signed up.
He was the one we always had in the kind of... if we can't get Cornelio, at least Whitfield will be available, but that's no longer the case.
Darcy Moore. But do you really want to go for those Collingwood... I don't know. Those Collingwood boys.
And they'll be hard to pry.
Solo didn't work out too well.
Yeah, gosh.
So where do you have us, Andy? What are your thoughts?
I reckon... of course, finals, it's a possibility, but I think if everything goes like it should, I think we'll be just outside the eight. Yeah, about pretty similar to what Dan said.
Yeah. No, look, it's going to be interesting, and we're at the mercy of our health.
Yep.
And we're at the mercy of things that aren't really in our control, so to speak.
It just sucks to be talking about we're at the mercy of our health when it's a couple of weeks into January.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So we're saying, make finals, everything going well. What is everything going well? We're saying, I guess, Mackay, Charlie Kerner only miss a
Doherty
little bit.
Full season.
Doherty full season, yep.
Yep.
Eddie Betts just slides in and has a reasonable output. We're not expecting huge numbers, but plays 22 games, close enough to, and Crumbs.
Few more boys start emerging, like the guys entering, that fourth year. So we're talking about the Zach Fishers and the Samos, who are midfielders, so they shouldn't be taking as long as what those key position boys are from the 2015 draft.
Yep. Exactly right,
So maybe one of them stepping up and emerging, and maybe a little earlier than what we thought. Both of them have showed signs at times, but I think that's probably one. I mean, again, you mentioned Sam Doherty, Sam Walsh could go up another level, and
yep.
You know, so there are things like that that work in our favour. We're really healthy, yeah. Just apart from that forward line.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Ideally, I mean, I said last year, I want 100 goals from the three of them. Yeah. I still want 100 goals from the three of them,
yeah.
As a starting point. And then if one of them can go over on and kick a 60-goal year, then great.
Yeah.
You know?
What do we think about Betts? I mean, how many goals?
How many goals? Good question. I'm going high 20s, I reckon.
That would be good.
Yeah. I'll go high 20s, I'd say probably, yeah. Just below 30. But yeah, between the 20 to 30 range, and hopefully with a whole lot of assists as well, as we know he does.
Yeah, I got him at 27. When the talks were there about us first recruiting him, I was a little bit hesitant. I'll be honest, because I was like, yeah, we need a small forward. He's 33. You know, I get this.
Wasn't exactly the small forward we were aiming for originally, Tom Papley.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then I was at training, his first session, and you see the impact he has.
Yeah, yeah.
He touches the ball. The fans just go crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we can get a full season out of him, we can kick his 27 goals.
Yep.
And then you got to also remember, he helps guys like Jack Martin settle
exactly
in
right.
Yep. Off the field, the NGA program. He's always around the club. He's, you know, with the girls and doing his thing. And they're good people to have. And he's a moments guy when he does something.
Absolutely.
It sparks something. Yeah.
That's what he does. But
yeah,
you're right. He seems like he's a really good guy to have around the club. And, you know, there's a big talk about him mentoring.
And a large part of getting Jack Martin by the sounds. Right. And Jack Martin ultimately for free, which is pretty handy.
Huge.
We never really touched on, I don't think, in our podcast, but that is a big, big win.
Yeah, it's a massive win. Betts is going to kick 31.
Love 31, it. I like 31. It. All right, so what I say, 29, you got 31, 27 for Terry.
For me. Yep.
Love that.
Good.
So speaking of Jack Martin.
Well, I'm glad you asked. I think the club are managing him in terms of the expectation on the outside.
Yeah.
He's flying out
there.
That's
what we want.
And I know, you know, everyone says it, but when I went to my first training session where I saw him pre-Christmas, you look at the arms and you could just tell he just wasn't in real elite condition. It's almost as if he kept training at that level throughout the Christmas period, because he's just looking sharp, shredded, on the track. And, you know, it's interesting. There hasn't been a lot of media attention around him. And I think that's by design.
Yeah. Yep.
He's a very talented kid.
Yeah.
Very talented.
Very happy to hear that, because I reckon the first sort of puff piece came out maybe 2 days ago from Carlton, and it still wasn't a big one.
Yep.
But I think that there might have been some pressure to put something. But I think you're right. I think that it's been hidden. And if he's been burning it up, that's great to hear.
That's a really interesting take, to keep him kind of insulated a little bit, because he's come from Gold Coast and now he's, you know, down in the home of football, Victoria.
Yep.
It's going to be a different limelight. But how quick's he looking?
Super. It's his ability to make quick decision.
Yeah,
gets good. It. Knows what he wants to do with it already, good. And then he has this ability to just, he makes a play that opens up somebody else.
Well, that's what we want
in traffic. It's really interesting.
That's what we need.
You know what I mean?
An instinctive footballer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, he's pure talent. And I remember his press conference. I don't know about you guys. I saw an anxious guy.
Yeah,
it was just very nerve wracking, and you could almost just feel the, you know, the stress he'd been under, whether it be because it was uncertainty whether the deal was going to get done. But he just looks comfortable, and you see smiles and bum taps, and
excellent.
You know,
that's good. Well, because we were saying a couple of podcasts ago, like, who actually is quick at Carlton? Like, we were trying to decide who the fuck, and we said probably Mackay. I mean, in terms of over it.
I think McGovern as well, to the straight line speed. He's been tested in a game as the fastest, but that's straight line speed, which is different to, you know.
But it's not a quick midfield. It never really has been.
No.
And I think that I have addressed that somewhat this draft, the 2019 draft, and a couple before. But yeah, we always wait on that. We're after speed. That's why we were very happy when Martin's name came up, because we realised on the outside, even some of those games that we were winning, we were getting beaten up on the outside, and we, you know, had a deficiency, and we easily could have lost a couple of those. So we realised. And then there's also, I mean, you look at that too, there's the speed of mind and speed of leg as well. And they're sometimes two different things.
We'll have a look at Greg Williams.
Yeah. So it sounds like Martin might have both of those.
Martin's,
and that's
good. Yeah.
And one touch.
Yeah.
Clean.
Yeah.
That's
what we desperately need that as well.
And I think eventually Philp will fill that role as well. Like, he tested quicker than Jack Petrocelli.
Yeah.
At the combine.
The speed king.
So,
yeah.
Over 20 meters and even longer.
That's
so
great to hear.
Yeah, and you see glimpses of him as well. He's still, he's coming along nicely. He's got a decent base size.
Will he play this year?
I reckon he will at the back end.
Yep.
At the back end of the year. Because I think he's got the mental, because obviously he didn't make the state team.
So it's got a bit of drive.
Last year, and he, you know, it was a bit of a setback kind of for him.
Yeah.
But you see him and you see why we drafted him, because he's got that burst out of traffic.
Yep.
Which Cunningham also has.
Yeah.
So he's got that as well.
That's how we saw him. He's got similar sort of look, similar attributes. Yeah. He kind of looks like just a younger version of Cunningham.
Yeah.
So
yep.
What did your mate have to say about him? He had some insight.
Well, apparently, yeah, I don't think he was taken too high. I think that, I mean, that's always going to be the knock on him, that he probably, we probably should have gone somewhere else.
A lot of those players end up pretty well, aren't they? Paddy Cripps and, you know, some
of
those,
exactly those
flies.
Yeah, exactly right. But yeah, I mean, that was the knock, that we should have potentially
taken Robertson.
Yeah.
I'll be watching Robertson all year.
Yeah, very
closely.
Because,
I mean, captain of WA, he's still there at 20.
Yep.
Average 30 touches a game.
Yep.
You know, captain W, you know, like, we're talking about a...
What's the knock on him?
Credentialed.
It's the disposal, isn't it?
Kicking disposal, was it? Maybe a bit slow.
I think it must have been. Because he had a not as great year the year before. And he had like some home truths set to him, and he worked on it and improved. And but again, we drafted Philp for the need.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You don't take the best next available player. You've got to address your needs.
Yeah.
And our needs, I think, have been met in terms of lack of speed, and that's what we got with Philp. So I'm not down on it.
But they will be compared, and we'll be comparing them for the future. And yeah, we took a needs and we said we needed speed. We've got speed. We probably don't need accumulators, you know, some of the slower accumulators, because we've got a few of those anyway. That are advanced. So it'll be interesting to watch, but I guess no expectation, though. No one's putting any expectation in 2020. If he gets a couple of games, and that's a good year for him.
Yeah, then great. Yeah.
And we won't see Kemp this year.
No. Wouldn't have thought so.
No.
Do the Max King model. Like, just wrap him up.
Absolutely.
Give him a full year to just get used to footy environment. Yep. Because there's an argument to be made. First-year players shouldn't play.
Anyway.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
And I think Kemp's going to go through that model.
Yep.
And, you know, then we're talking about a brand new player next year. Similar to Stocker. Like, I know we did play Stocker last year.
Yeah,
He's also, all of a sudden now, he can play. He's ready to go.
Yep.
You know, then you look at Walsh.
Well.
And, I mean, he's a real exception to the point.
I think that's exactly right. He's the exception to the rule. He's a unique talent.
Is he the best first-year player you've seen?
He's got to be.
Easy.
Yeah.
But I don't think... Chad Corns agreed, though. Kane Corns.
Yeah. Let's not mention his name on this podcast.
Table's about to be flipped. So I think he probably has.
Yeah.
How can the guy improve? Like, can't see a massive improvement.
But he's definitely not hit his ceiling, because he's not someone who's come in who's just ripped, ready, the body is perfect, and they're not going to grow or get any better. You can still just see him.
But I feel there won't be... It's not going to be a huge jump with him.
It can't be a huge jump. He's already...
He was unbelievable last year. But speaking of Stocker...
Is there a chance for the All-Star this quickly? We'll touch on the All-Star game later, but Sam Walsh?
Well, I don't see
one of three Carlton players.
Favourite, you know? You got to put the people who are going to put the bums in seats, right?
Well, it's not going to be Kerno.
Well,
no.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Anyway, I digress. Continue.
I forgot where I was. Oh no! We're talking about Stocker.
Yeah,
I think we've all forgotten about that guy.
Yeah,
he played a couple of games, like Terry said last year, but you know, just kind of everything's happened, and we've kind of, you know, got Martin and got all these plays, and we kind of forgot about Stocker. But I really like the look of Stocker. Oh. Yeah.
And I've got a very interesting question for Terry, because I've seen photos from Carlton Facebook page and Carlton media, and it seems like Stocker is in every picture Patrick Cripps is.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he shadowing him?
He's tagging him.
Yeah. Yep.
He's doing what they did with Jack Silvani last year, and I think it's great, because Stocker was the tagger in the under-19s. That's what he did when he was playing there. So, he's very combative.
Yeah,
good.
Like
that's a good word as well.
He wants the contact, and I just worry that can we get 20 games out of him at this point in his career? It took Cripps a while, to really get going, but once he did, he was ready. The competitiveness, like he might get you 12, 13 possessions, but he's just got this, like this look in his eyes, and it's great.
We commented on the first game we saw him play, his debut, and
Collingwood, wasn't it?
Collingwood, it was. Yeah, the G. We're at the game, and he tackled someone on the wing. And got up and just pushed them down. Yeah. Like, it was just that. We've spoken about it before. It's kind of like that Jared Waite had it. That little bit of, I can't say the word.
I said it at the time.
He's got a fair bit of mongrel about him. And he's, we need that.
Yeah,
massively.
And we were excited with that debut when we saw that, because you can't teach that stuff. So to come out in your first game and to demonstrate it, and it wasn't a moment where it was a bit of a push, hold me back kind of moment. It was genuine. You could see he was...
The first game player to do that, he's got some...
And we had the discussions back then, who else?
Who else has mongrel? I reckon McGovern does.
Yeah, so that natural mongrel that you do, you need that arrogance, a bit of that confidence, a bit of that mongrel, and you're going to put someone down.
It's a really good point.
So, I reckon McGovern, when we saw that, I mean, you put up that great tackle on your...
On Zach Butters?
Push, and Cripps does that. Cripps has got that. I reckon Stocker's got that. I'm not really sure.
We do have a lot of nice.
Maybe Jones, just in the way he attacks the footy. Not so much the man.
That's a bit different. I mean, Jones is kind of like a bit like Walsh. Like, I mean, you can't question the toughness, but that real mongrel to be a bit of a...
bit of an agitator.
They
are important, because sometimes if you're down, you need to change momentum a bit.
And that's why Cripps is the agitators. Best captain.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. 100%. 100%.
So we're going to discuss about... basically, we'll all take one player for the year. It's going to be your boy for the year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so a bit of an underrated player that you want to...
You're not going to take Patrick Cripps. We're going to rule out.
Rule him out.
Yep.
So, Chris, give us your one.
So, someone who's a bit underrated is going to take the game to a new level, and you're just going to back in, and you know they're ready for a big one and to step up. Look, I'll go... there's a few I could have gone with. I'll keep those to myself to see what you guys come up with. But I'll go David Cunningham. I just think he's ready. Gets a preseason behind him. Once again, we're saying that sort of that crop that's entering their fifth or sixth season. He's got the body and he's got the 25 speed.
25 games.
25 games. Yeah, he's been injury prone, so that's probably my biggest question mark. How many games can he get? Because he wouldn't have played more than 10 in a season. He couldn't have based on that. So that's my only concern. But if the body's right, Russell's there. He's had him for a couple of years now. I reckon he's ready to fly. He's exactly what we need. He's got speed. He can win the contested possession.
Yep.
Kick straight, especially set shot goals, which not a whole lot of our team can do. So that's a big bonus when he goes forward. He can have an impact. So I reckon he's ready. I reckon he's ready to go. I reckon he's ready to roll.
I reckon that's a really good selection.
Love Terry, Cunners.
Who's your boy?
So my boy is Will Setterfield.
Good.
Yes.
I think last year for him was all about mentally, can I get through a full season after my knee reco? So he's ticked the box. And just from what I've seen at training, he's put a little bit more size on. And now when I see him in the match sim, it's bump your guy. He wasn't bumping people off the ball.
He had a weird body shape last year. When he came, everyone's saying he's a big-bodied midfielder. And understand he's young. He's a lot younger than most people think.
How old is he?
21?
Yeah. So people think he's been in the system a lot longer.
Yeah.
But he came, but you can see he's got those broad shoulders, but he just didn't have any real definition.
Yeah.
And he didn't look strong last year. So I'm happy to hear if that's changed.
That's the one thing, like little things you try and pick out. And obviously it's training, so, you know. But still, once it's matched him, it's instinct. I'm seeing a lot more bumps off the ball, combative stuff. He's not even thinking about landing on, you know, his foot the right way. It's just, all right, I'm ready to play footy again. And he's just got the talent. I just see it. I want to see him take more marks around the ground this year because he's tall for a midfielder.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, what, 190?
He's over 190. He's around
that's,
there.
That is... That's pretty tall, isn't it?
I mean, Cripps has set the benchmark ridiculously high for that. But look, Bontempelli is still out. That
Cripps
isn't he 190?
7'3"?
Yeah. No, that was last season. He's 7'6" now.
He's got a few issues.
A new bowl. Has he stopped growing? That's a good question.
Yeah.
Has Patrick Cripps actually stopped growing?
I think he has now.
Surely.
I reckon that's great. And they're playing in the simulations inside mid. Is that where he's working?
Yeah, inside mid. And like they tested him a bit last year, like as a forward, just to help him out. And he kicked that game ceiling goal against the Crows.
Yep.
So I want to see that a little bit more from him as well. I think we're trying to build a real versatile team with our midfielders.
Yeah.
Really versatile. Yep. There's no just specialist midfielder in there anymore, you know? Maybe Murphy. I don't know. But Will Setterfield's one for me that I think is going
to
happen.
I think that's a great selection. Like, didn't he, last year, I remember a game, was it, he had a chance to kick like five, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he just couldn't.
Yeah, so he was thereabouts, considering he hadn't had the preseason coming off a knee. Yeah. It was a very
I think
good
he might
year.
Have ended up with three or something like that. I don't recall, but I remember thinking he could have kicked a bag.
Yeah.
So does he potentially step up and be that player we've been wanting for the last 3 or 4 years to take some pressure off Cripps in the middle?
Yeah,
let
I think
Cripps
so.
Body sort of not get so banged up and Cripps maybe goes forward. Yeah. Because, we're talking 195 centimetre forward and we know he can take a grab. So, we may have found that player.
I think for Setterfield, for me, I just want to see, you know, anywhere between 19 and 22 touches.
Yep.
And then next year, start going into that 24, 25 category. Because I think that's the idea with him.
Do we think he's going to be an accumulator?
Longer term?
Yeah. Yeah. Or is he more of a, like you were saying, that kind of 19 to 22, you know?
I reckon he seems to find it pretty easy. He's one of those players seems to find it pretty easy. Gets around the ground, and like you said, if you can start taking a few marks, then you're going to add a few more disposals there straight away anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that's a...
I'm going to go Petrescu Seaton.
Oh, yeah.
64 games. I think it's time that he...
You had to throw a stat in, didn't you, stat man?
I had to.
He's done well till now.
He's number five. I just think he's...
never forget.
he had a really good game. I forget which one it is, Terry. You had it up on 35 disposals.
The Doggies game.
Game, that's it. I just think we can see a lot more of that kind of football because, you know, he's a good user of the football. He's been in long enough now. He gets a lot of low disposal games. But it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I just think it's time for him to take the next step really just increase the kind of the disposals per game. And given how clean he is with his disposal, I think that's only going to be a good thing for us.
Yeah, composure, he's got all that disposal, good.
Yeah.
Where do you see him playing? Is he just sit back on that halfback, which he pretty much did, or push through the midfield?
Why do you think I think
it goes back to what Terry was saying in a way, doesn't it? The versatility.
I like the halfback kind of role for him because he's such a good user of the football. And I think we've got a lot of kind of plays in, but I'd like to see him thrown in a little bit just to kind of, you know, bit of dynamics in the team. But I think the halfback's where he's going to be playing his footy.
Yeah, I thought he added something last year. Like from the year before, he was a real moments guy.
Yeah.
Maybe three or four quick possessions in a quarter, then you wouldn't see him for a while.
Yep.
He added a little bit more length to that last year, and usually with the breakout guys they show something the year before, and I actually think Samo did. Like,
yeah,
I thought he put a really good season together.
Yeah, he did good, very good
because if you look at his numbers just at a glance, like, oh, okay, it's anywhere between 18 and 22.
Yeah,
like, okay, that's a good springboard.
Yep.
And then, you know, the next year, if he can just go up another level, when you combine that with if he's playing across half back, we both talk about how he's a good user. So they're going to try and get him the ball.
More touches. Yep. Yeah.
You want ball in his hand. So naturally, you think he could be really ready to take that next step.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I just love that vision. It stuck in my head. Who was it against? I think it was at the MCG when he just got that hard ball. And he just sort of pirouetted.
Adelaide.
Adelaide? Yeah, he just bent down, picked the hard ball with the contact coming. And just, more of that, please.
Yep.
What's a good season for him? Look, if you're saying he's your boy, what are you expecting if you're backing him?
I'd just like him to get those disposals up a bit more. Exactly like Terry said, he's one of those players that 10 minutes he's awesome and then he goes missing a little bit. I know it's hard to... He did play more of a half-back role, so you're not going to get as many disposals necessarily as you would. Well, I mean, you could argue that you do sometimes get some cheaper kicks.
Some easier ones,
Like to see just a bit more accumulation from SPS and just, a bit more consistency.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping for that. And I think it's time to shine for him.
So he works off one half-back flank. Dare I say his name? Sam Doherty off the other? Is that... What we're thinking? I mean, then where does Simpson fit in?
Yeah, I mean,
which are good discussions.
This is a good discussion to have because we were actually, you know, we've got players now that we can.
Yeah, and then potentially got Williamson as well.
Jack Nunes, he's played in that role before.
Jack Nunes,
we'll get to him. But yeah,
that is interesting. There are a lot of players for those couple of positions, aren't there? There's a bit of depth.
Yeah,
like I spoke about Simo the other day, and like, there's sentiment. We love Simo, but let's be real. We need someone to say, like, push him out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's be real. He's not going to be playing. He might play next year.
Yeah.
He probably won't. But we need someone to be like, sorry, mate. Like, sorry, Simo. Like, Samo's just ready to go.
Yeah.
Look, there's no time for sentiment.
Better for the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you know?
And if he's at another club, he might not be getting the last couple of years or playing that way. But that's exactly right. Yeah, we need someone to knock him off. And that's a good result for the club.
Yeah,
if someone can be a better footballer than Simpson, that's a great thing to have.
Oh, yeah.
If he genuinely gets pushed out by someone who can play the role better, then that's amazing for us because he's still a very good player.
Yeah, and I think he would have, Simo as well, would have the attitude of,
come on, son.
Yeah, exactly right.
I will help you be better than me. You know?
He's a one club. Yeah. One club man. He wants to see the Blues go up.
Of course.
He's not going to win a premiership with us.
Pretty safe to say.
he's not. So yeah. I'm sure he just wants the. He
makes me feel sad.
Yeah,
like
it's gonna be. Yeah, it's gonna be a sad day when those long sleeves get retired.
I don't think the team, the Carlton football team, without him.
Yeah,
I remember he had that huge run of games until that Collingwood incident. Who ran through him?
No, that dog Wellingham.
Wellingham. Sharrod Wellingham. I was at the game for that. That was disgraceful. It broke his jaw, didn't it?
Ruined
that arm.
Then he grew the beard after that. And he had this like
to protect the jaw. he grew the beard to protect the jaw.
Yeah,
a little bit of cushioning. either way, when the time does come for Simpson, let's hope he ends his career a little bit better than how he started it with three games of donuts.
That's nuts, isn't it? Hey, so I think that kind of leads into the next point that we've got down is who's going to lift for 2020.
Do you want to start us off?
I'll start off. I think it's pretty clear who I always say needs to lift, and that's who had a poor 2019. That's Fisher and Dow. I think they really need a lift this year. I'm a big fan of Dow. I just think he needs a bit more composure. I think that'll just come naturally with age and everything, but he's got a good head on his shoulders. I think he's a really good footballer. I think he will be a very good footballer, but he needs to have a big year this year.
I think this is trying to get that balance right between disposal and speed and trying to figure out how it all works. But yeah, two good ones about Fisher.
Fisher had a really good 2018. He had a poor 2019, I think it's fair to say. So he has
that was our take, wasn't it?
Yeah, Fisher's one of those players. He won't get games if he's not good this year. I think too many players, unfortunately, get games when they shouldn't on form, and maybe that create some sort of complacency within the group. I think now that we've got these players like Nunes and these players, they'll push players out. If you're not up to scratch, you're not playing ones.
Yeah, so you've named he's got to lift. What does he have to lift within his game?
Well, you have to lift about 30 kilos.
He's had a good preseason, Terry.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've noticed him be a little bit more vocal. He's not looking like a little boy anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting when we talked about Samo, because at the end of 18, Fisher, I thought, was ahead of Samo.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And then
Samo
flipped that around in 2019. So
is Fisher, Fisher's almost a bit of a... He's created this himself because he had such a good 2018.
Yes. Yes.
We're
young player.
Young player.
But yeah, I guess, I mean, my concern with Fisher is we know he's not going to get any taller. So he's got his limitations there. That doesn't stop you as a footballer.
Yep.
But if you're going to be smaller and one-on-ones, if the ball's in the air, you're definitely not going to win the possession. Then you need to have a couple of other elements where you're elite, not just good. And that's where last year his hands were even a little bit sloppy, which had me questioning. Because someone like that, I think you just need to have those perfect hands, quick of mind, quick of feet as well, and distribute but not fumble, be a one touch below the knees type of player. And for whatever reason last year, I think he was fumbling a bit, and then you throw that with his height, then you start having concerns. So they're sort of my thoughts. So when we do with it, got a lift there, but I think just bring in that, just being super clean, and maybe having Diesel Williams there is a perfect mentor to help that out. So
Terry, who's got a lift?
Mitch McGovern.
I understand.
I'm displaced fracture in the neck.
Yep.
And I get it. It hampered his preseason. Totally understand. But when you look at, he might not be in match sim, but he's here now. We paid a lot of money for him.
Yep,
a lot of
absolutely. Money.
And with that comes expectation
because
that could have been the difference between an offer to another player, a free agent or whatnot. So
absolutely.
When you look at that, when you look at the fact that Harry and Charlie are a little bit behind right now, well, we need something like 40 goals from him this year.
Yep.
And this is not about, Mitch is going to, look at the potential of Mitch McGovern. This needs to be the best of Mitch McGovern for me. So, I think there's a bit of pressure on him and he's got to lift and help carry us, help bridge the gap until Charlie and Harry are ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Commenting last year, did he go off injured every game? But then come back
for
on?
A breather.
It was every time we'd look at it, it was quite bizarre. We'd always say
he's got amazing healing powers.
Yeah.
Because he looked like he was done for weeks.
Yeah.
He'd be on the bench, tracksuit top on, and we go, back. Oh, geez, he's done again. And no, 20 minutes later, ready to roll. So,
But he's looking noticeably different.
Yeah.
Like, I know that we all talk about he's flying on the track, but Like, I look at him and someone like a Matt Kennedy, like, you look at him noticeably, yeah, they're a yeah, lot leaner. Like, yeah, you couldn't see the definition in Mitch's arms as much as what you can now at training.
Yeah, that's,
you
know, oh, that's great. And that's, is this Russell?
Yeah.
Well, I think he got his wake-up call, didn't he, in the last year, which I think was a well-played club.
Yep.
Because, well, they gave him a month off and...
In the cage. Loved it. I love that.
Yeah.
Put him in a cage.
But, yeah, for a month. That's not a long time. And he came back noticeably leaner and far better. Than this. So if he's kept that up through the preseason,
yeah,
he should be ready.
Do you have a goals expectation on him as well? Like, I think 40 to bridge the gap. Like, I'm sorry, but he's not a third string forward right now.
Yeah. No.
He will be once Harry and Charlie are, you know, up and running, but you need to now step up.
I'm with you. I reckon 40 plus, because he's going to have that opportunity. He's going to have the ball kicked to him a lot more.
I don't think he will, though. Yeah. I don't think he'll kick 40.
Jeez, if he doesn't kick the 40 and we don't have Harry, we don't have Charlie, where are those goals coming from? I just think he'll get a lot more opportunity and the ball will be directed to him. So he's going to have to, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. Maybe he's better when those guys are there because he's not getting that number one defender.
Yeah, true.
Et cetera. So, I mean, it's... I don't know.
But there are no excuses. If he comes back and he's in ripping condition, he's had most of the preseason. You know, we paid a hefty price for him. He's at that age. What are you, 25, 26?
Yeah, 26
now. Age bracket to just go.
He's played in big games.
Yeah.
You know, he's played in, you know, he played in a really good Adelaide team. And he also, the other thing as well, he played under David Teague. He knows his system.
Yep.
You know, he knows the way David Teague likes to move the ball. He's got Eddie there as well.
Yep.
So a little bit of little bit of, they've played together.
A bit of chemistry, yep.
So I know I'm probably, you know, pulling at something here, but I need to see it from him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that's a really good one. Chris, who's going to lift?
Finbar O'Dwyer, clearly.
Yeah.
No, I was game. I had McGovern as well, and Terry's pretty much said exactly what I thought. So, sorry, Finbar, that was in jest, but I'm the same for the exact same reasons as Terry. Terry mentioned, and he has to. And if you look at this game and what's happened, and there's a two forwards going down, he just has to lift.
Yep.
Yeah.
Simple.
I think Kennedy's another one. If I had to get another one.
Yeah.
Because now we've got to see, what are you going to be? Like, where are you going
to
fit?
High pick, and he was meant to come in as that inside accumulator, big bodied. Where does he play? Like, you've been to training. Where is he? Midfield? Is he been forward? He's
doing match sim in the mid.
So he's leaned up.
Yeah, a lot.
Which should help running.
Yeah.
Because he's not naturally quick.
No, he's not. No.
But he is a good overhead mark. And he had a bit of a flash last year in the forward line. He kicked 8 goals in 4 weeks. 4 of those came against the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah.
I'm not huge on that.
It's a moment.
I think so too. Yeah.
In the forward, you know. So, yeah, I think he's another one. Because at the end of this year, if we get sort of the same output as what we had the last 2-3 seasons, then... What happens?
It doesn't hang on, surely. Yeah, if that's the case, because I mean, you've got to free up list spots, and if you've got, you know, Setterfield, if
Gibbons,
he takes it to that level,
Nunes,
Kemp,
you know, Kempy next year, Stocker,
it's. I mean, like I said, it's a good issue to have, but there's going to be a lot of pressure on some of these players, and like Kennedy.
I think in him specifically, if he wasn't such a high draft pick, things might be a little bit different. But you view players differently, and you hold out hope a bit longer. I think for those picks or those players to go a bit higher, and I think he's one of those, but there does come a cutoff point.
We're also Carlton, you know, and we demand.
Yeah,
I know we haven't been very good, but we demand excellence. Yeah. We're Carlton Football Club, we don't forget that. No. Yep. You know?
Yeah, once we start climbing back up the ladder, that old arrogance will come back, and that old Carlton from the supporters.
I've warned everyone, just stay away from
me. We've put in the hard yards. We have put in the hard yards. We deserve to be a bit don't we?
Yeah,
yeah, it's been a tough 20 years. Well, there go. Headline you want to read this year?
Mine is Blues pay their dues.
Well, yeah.
And that's just, I think, sums up everything I want. That this is the year that, you know, acknowledges that we have been on the bottom. We have put in some hard yards, but that moment comes, that headline's there. You're confident that they've turned the corner and they're moving in the right spot. So that's probably one for me, I'd say.
Yeah, I like it.
I've got one.
Yeah.
Just what the Doherty ordered.
Hey.
Excellent.
I can see that. Herald Sun front page. Yeah. So I'll put that out there. But I just want to see him get through. You know, he's looking stupid good.
Yeah.
It's the decision making. He doesn't rely on athleticism. Yeah. He relies on his decision making.
Yep. Very smart footballer.
And he's had all that time to sit there and analyse, see other teams in the coach's box. A brain like a footy brain like his is just... Get the body right. Oh, but I just get so nervous. I start clenching a little bit, to be honest. I clench when I hear his name.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that all year.
Oh.
He went up for an intercept mark in the match sim last week, and he like took the mark. That trademark Doherty, you know, intercept mark, and we just turned to each other and we're just like, no, we can't handle this. This is too much.
You're going
to
hear it in the crowd, surely.
Yeah,
we'll hear it at a pro-Carlton game.
Yeah.
Just that hush and the silence when it...
I really hope that guy has a huge year.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Certainly does. So, what have you got, Andy?
I've got Cripps joins Blue Bag as a permanent host.
I like it.
Yeah. I really like that one.
That's what I'd like to say.
Oh, wow, permanent host. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, but... And then a little bit in the article would be how he has to miss September because we're in the finals.
So he taking a hiatus. Yeah. Sorry, boys.
You're giving us a headline and the content in that one.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, I think that's certainly something we'd want to see. It's a slightly left field.
Yeah.
Jeez. Wouldn't that be exciting?
It'd be good to chat to him.
We'd be no good. You're too much of a fanboy. Yeah. Well, I'm too much of a fanboy.
Yeah.
We'd be, just drool and he'd just... He'd be out of here pretty quickly. He's got
that, doesn't he? It'd just be, hey, Cripps, do you remember that time you did this? Yep. Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
I think it'd become the Cripcast. It wouldn't be any of the Blue Baggers. It'd be the Cripcast.
I remember I was sitting at Icon Park pre-Christmas. I had edited a video and I was sitting in the cafe and like there was the pillar right here and he just sort of walked past it and it was like a quick eye exchange and he turned around and said, "How you going?" And I was just like, mate. And like, you know, this is ridiculous. He's 24, 25.
Yeah, that's a weird...
And
that's
I'm losing weird, my marbles. Yeah. I'm like, what is this? Yeah. You know?
I'm a bit older than that and it freaks me out sometimes when I really analyse my love and my behaviour.
We're saying, though, that like we love Judd. Like, we loved him. But Cripps is a new level of love.
Yeah.
It's I don't think there is.
I reckon it's probably about a season and a half ago where he overtook Judd for... Yeah.
I agree. Totally. For the aura. It's the...
Yeah.
It's the,
and like, it's the one club, man. He, you know, Judd, it never felt... Because he won a premiership at Eagles, and that's nothing against...
Yeah.
And a Brownlow there, but...
There is a bit of a mark.
There is a mark, of course there is.
Well, we saw Cripps grow up.
Yeah,
Chubby boy who had the leg break and, is he going to make it? And, people were divided. We shouldn't have drafted him. We had Brock McLean. We don't need another inside midfielder. And then he's just,
blossomed.
Yeah. And there's no one in the league. You speak to any supporter, maybe you guys have one. I haven't met a single supporter from another club who says a bad word about him.
You have to respect what that guy does on the field.
He's
exactly what you want in a footballer.
Yeah. So fingers crossed again to an injury free year for him as well, because we all know how pivotal he is. And that maybe leads us on to the Achilles heel, and we don't want to get necessarily specifically into specifics about players or so, but that Carlton we're talking about, what a great year looks like, what a disappointing year looks like. What do you think our Achilles heel might be, and something we need to overcome, or if we do have those poor start, we look back and go, we probably should have picked that, or we could have seen that.
Yeah.
Andy, you want to go?
I just think confidence is a big one. We're talking before that, we've got Richmond Dogs, Essendon, Sydney Hawks. I don't like playing Richmond round one because they're the best team in the comp. I mean, it's great to see from a rivalry perspective and stuff, and we should be playing the best team. But I just feel that if we get off to an 0-3, 0-4, dare I say 0-5 start, it's just not how, I don't know, the confidence in the team, in the group, they're young guys still.
And it's a club that doesn't really have natural confidence at the moment, because why would they
and
have
do they
that?
Know what it's like to really win?
Yes.
And does anyone there actually know what it's like to win? Our biggest veteran, Simpson, hasn't... he's played as many final games you can count on one hand, probably. So, I don't know. I just think confidence is a big one. And if we get off to a good start, that's why I'd love a game like... I'd love Sydney up first. Where we could beat Richmond. I think we play...
And on the flip side, you win that one.
Exactly right. So, I mean,
the lid goes off.
But you're a big one for that Richmond game. You're not a big fan.
I just feel like we play really good football. We have played some good games against them round one. Football that I think is good enough to beat probably most teams.
Yeah.
But we do get beaten. Starting this season off with a loss, we've had such poor starts
for
the last few years, and I think it kills us.
Yeah, we might touch on that just after we do this one, is that for those first five rounds, but... Terry, Achilles.
Yeah, I think just to add to what you said, the culture. Yep. So a winning culture is bred from you've got to think about our list. So who of the elder statesmen have come from a winning culture for the younger guys to build off? Yep. You know, Cripps is an anomaly because he's, you know, his work habits and all that are great. But Cruiser, Murphy, I mean, yeah, they've tasted finals, but you know, it's so hard to change a losing culture into a winning culture.
Yep.
I think we've done it well off the field. And the other thing for me is, I think our Achilles heel has been, and yeah, we love Cripper, but when are we going to have a rounded team?
Yep. Yeah.
You know, where it's like Cripper might have a bad game, but the others step up. Yeah. And we saw it a little bit, you know, the Freo gaming wasn't there and it happened and it worked well and that was good to see. But I still think that along with, you know, the forward line, which is a bit of an unknown, that's probably our Achilles heel. And, you know, you look at last year, the Gold Coast game, the Hawthorn game.
Yeah, it's a Hawthorn game. It stands out, doesn't it?
Oh, the Sydney Hawthorn game. Yep. If you don't pinch one, two of those early, it just adds more pressure and pressure. And if we're in that same position and we don't overcome that mental block, whatever it is, it's going to be 2-8, 2-9. And then it's going to be, oh, the media. Is this Teague the right guy? And then it's just going to be another year of that. So I think, without wanting to be a pessimist, but that's the purpose of the exercise.
No, no.
Absolutely. We're hitting those ones.
We've got to get early wins. 2-2.
Yeah. What does 0-5 look like? I mean,
another Carlton year.
Deja vu.
Yeah.
We can't. Is there any world in which Teague loses his job next year?
Yeah, like 2-9, 2-10, surely.
You reckon?
You can't go backwards. So surely we're not going to be 2-10. But I mean, you oppose it there. It's not going to be looked favourably. You go 2-10 from the list you've inherited. Like we said, those excuses are gone. You know, forward line aside and forward targets, but for the whole playing group and the rest of the playing group, those excuses are gone. So I don't know. But look, I agree.
I can't see him doing it. By the way,
no.
But like, I mean, if you want to be ruthless,
It's Carlton. We know for sure there'll be pressure if that's the case.
There will be. I mean, Carlton is one of those clubs where, like you said, we demand the best. And
no offense. Well, actually, total offense. We're not St Kilda.
We're not
the doggies.
Absolutely.
We're not here to take part.
Yep.
This is not in our makeup, and that mentality cannot leave us.
Yeah. No. We need to be ruthless
at any point. You know, we are here to win premierships.
Absolutely.
And you're in. Absolutely right. And that's, again, the culture of the club, which we've lost a little bit, probably in the playing group, about a winning culture. And Carlton is about winning. We're 16 premierships. We're a successful club. We want to bring those days back.
And we shouldn't be settling for any less.
No, absolutely right.
And don't tell us to.
Yeah. And you know what? Like that is a slow build to get to, but we've had that slow build.
Yep.
You know, we've been through that. We're not sitting here going, it's going to be a slow build or not acknowledging it. But it has been done already. So look, I completely agree. I think it is that confidence, it's that culture. We lost games early last year because we didn't have players, you know, successful players that carry the younger players over the line. They drag them there.
We didn't know how to win.
That Hawthorn game is a classic example. And did anyone feel confident during that game that we were going to win? Like, I remember just sitting there going,
it's always maybe
40 points up or 30, you know, something like that. I was like, no.
36 points up, I think, wasn't it?
37, yeah.
And that's because it happened, and I think that probably reinforces what we're saying. But that was a big game, and as you said, Terry, you lose a couple of those at the start of the season. It's a different picture. You win those games.
Because, I mean, what could we have been? What should we have been last year? Was it 4-1?
Like, we were in most...
We should have won Gold Coast. I mean, that's just no one on the goal line. That is just, you know,
inexcusable. The Port game is another one that we probably should have won as well. But I get it. That's an away game. Okay, you know.
Yeah. We can't.
But anyway, if you're in that position, you've got to win. If you're in the position to win,
added up. Those bad losses added up, and then it got to a point once we got to Hawthorn, we had two or three bad ones already, and it was like, it's happened again.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and then you know, the playing group drops off a little bit for whatever reason. You fall into that hole, and that's what we did. You know, so the confidence was shot. We might have had a couple of down weeks anyway, even if we'd had wins, but that was just compounded, and we fell into that hole, and that was the end. You don't recover. So
we need to get off to a good start this year.
Yeah, but in saying that, the first five rounds,
all right, so they're
not easy.
Richmond at the G.
Yeah, well, you know,
unveiling the flag.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
Yeah.
We're not favourites for a reason.
Yeah.
We can't. We can win.
Yes, we can, definitely.
I'm not expecting to win, but I'm expecting not to get flogged.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And look, they could be vulnerable. You know, we had a quick discussion before. They could be vulnerable. They won the premiership. They went deep into September. They didn't give operations to players that they would have otherwise if they weren't there. We've had that opportunity. We've got at least maybe six to 8 weeks
no ranting
training
yeah.
before. Yeah, no rants. So
we've got
yeah.
the defenders to stop their forwards too. I have full faith in Wiedering.
Yeah.
No, you know putting on anyone.
He could have been my boy. He could have been any of our boys, I reckon.
It wasn't anyone.
Yeah.
I'm talking all Australian.
Yeah.
Coming up for Wiedering. So I think he's ready. So Lynch, whoever, I'm pretty sure he'll go to Lynch.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I'm confident.
Yeah.
It's just that midfield battle and, you know,
So and then, who's going to kick the goal?
Yeah, so that's so that's a tough opener, that's for sure. But you know they might be a little bit vulnerable just due to their own success that way. Then we've got the Bulldogs next week, who I see as lifting and rising up the ladder. I see them only getting better. And we were 1-1 against them last year. Yeah, but
well, the games open up when we play them.
Yeah,
so it's kind of you know, if we're on our game. If we're on the ball, and you know it's going to be a high possession game, you know that there's going to be three of their guys that get 30.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bont versus Cripp.
Yeah, which is always a good show, that one.
Yeah.
Essendon, round three. So, we've got these are the games we've got to win. Essendon.
For me, that one is a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Because what they did to us last, you cannot lose to Essendon like that.
No.
Yep.
You know, and they're I hate Essendon more than Collingwood.
Yep.
Without a doubt. Essendon
so far in front. Yep.
It's pure hate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're banged up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about our forward line being banged up. Half their list is banged up.
Good.
Dyson Hempel just started running.
So let's really smash them.
Yeah.
Like, that would be
wouldn't
good.
That be good?
Oh. Just to...
Thursday night. You got Friday to carry on, Saturday to carry on, Sunday to carry on, Monday morning. So either going to be...
Won't ruin the weekend. We'll make the weekend.
Yeah. No, it would be a very sad weekend if we got beaten.
I know. So say we win one of those first two.
Yep.
You know, Richmond Bulldogs, we can get a win there. We beat Essendon. That's a great start.
Absolutely.
We don't win those first two. We lose to Essendon. Ooh.
Then we've got Sydney in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we should win that.
That's winnable.
Sydney's winnable.
Buddy's not going to be playing.
No. Not much at all by the sounds. But we should be heading north. Sydney could be heading south again, even though they have finished pretty lowly. Home ground advantage.
Did we beat him there?
Yeah.
We have.
We beat him there last year.
Yeah.
I reckon we did too.
Yeah, we did.
Put Papley on his back and carried him. Yep. Yeah, that's right.
So that's... I'm saying that as you know another should win, and then
Hawks.
You have no confidence.
Where
is
that game?
With Clarkson, I think it's Marvel.
It's not because we're not playing.
No, not in Tassie. No, I think that one's at Marvel. So sort of neutral.
So I reckon we could win three out of. I mean, 3-2 would be good.
Yeah, with that draw, to be honest, I'd take 3-2.
Happy days.
Because I could see it 1-4.
Yeah, 2-3. I won't be.
You're right.
Shattered.
Yeah. I'll cop 2-3. You know, I'll cop 2-3.
Knowing how we usually start the season the last few years. And then, we go from there. But I think that Essendon and Sydney game for me at top of the list of winnable.
Yeah. You go 2-3 in that, and finals are still within your sights. There's no issue there. You peg back a game and you're 50%. So, but you go, it's a big difference between 2-3 and 1-4, I reckon, with that.
Yeah.
You go three games behind or one game behind. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll learn a lot, won't we? We'll know a lot come, post round five, where we sit and how the year might look after that.
Yeah. You start seeing a real divide early. You know, the trends start happening.
Yeah.
The supporters, the Facebook groups.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, that you see them all turning each other when we lose. It's going to be interesting.
State of Origin. Do you like it?
I was always a fan when it was being played. It's used to get along, so absolutely loved it. You know, sort of seeing the best of the best first, you know, play each other was fantastic. I don't know, you know, this concept perfectly how it is. My understanding is there's basically going to be three players from every club.
Yeah,
how they're determined, I'm not certain, but I think that's great. I think mix it up, have the three, but I'm okay with that. You know, some people are saying, well, you're not going to get the absolute best players. I'm okay with that. Share that risk across all the clubs, give everyone a chance.
And it's for a good arc cause.
And look, if you get the three best players at each club, you're going to have some very good players out there. Regardless, the cause is probably the biggest one in all of this. I'm excited. So
we're happy for our players to play State of Origin.
Well, you didn't ask me that one before. That's a different question altogether, isn't it?
So are you?
Yes. I'm going to say yes because, look, there's risk associated. They've just seen Charlie Kerner, how he's done his injuries, you know.
Wow.
They're not football related. You play an intra-club football match, you play your practice matches against the opposition pre-season. You know, they're pretty meaningless games and the same thing can happen there. So, it's just one of the things. Injuries are part of football and they will happen and there probably will be a couple of injuries, but I look at it that way, you know.
Terry, are you happy?
I love it.
Yep.
I come from, I watch a lot of American sports. I think we should have whether it's State of Origin or some sort of all-star day weekend where you showcase the talent for the kids and whatnot. Yeah. I know we tried it with AFLX, and I think we're on the right path with it. I think the intention is right. Yeah, an exhibition type game. Maybe it could be there for the bye before the finals.
Yep.
A skills competition, a 50-meter shootout.
That's a no-brainer.
The NBA do it well.
Yeah.
Don't they? They do it well.
Yeah.
And we tend to copy everything that gets done in the States. We probably do it 5-10 years.
Yeah, later. And I'm all for the commercialization of the sport. I'm very much, I like the innovative ideas and trying things. So from that point of view, I love it. I think with the State of Origin or the All-Stars game, I've got no worry about it. Like, I look at the EJ Witten Legends game.
Yeah.
I mean, even AFLX last year, they didn't really tackle each other.
No.
You're not going to get out. The culture of AFL is not like NRL State of Origin. Like, they go hard.
Yeah. And there's hatred.
I'm from New South Wales. Yeah. I'm from Queensland. Yeah. Yeah. And we're going at it.
And
we're never going to have that again.
Rights. No.
We're not going to have that again. So I think from an exhibition point of view, the players personally will know not to hurt each other.
Yeah.
If you injure your knee because you've gone for a mark and you landed in the turf and there was no contact, well, that could have happened at training.
Exactly right.
You know?
Exactly right.
Yeah. And for the players, I think it benefits more exposure, more branding opportunities.
Yep.
I look at it from that lens.
It's probably not a bad hit out as a preseason game.
Yeah.
So to play in that against the best of the best and to pit yourself against and see how you're traveling for the preseason. So I think you're going to get a fair bit of value playing four quarters with people from other clubs and against very good opponents.
Yep.
What about you, Andy?
Yeah, look, like I said to you guys earlier, if Cripps hurt himself... Well,
do you want Patrick Cripps to play? This will answer the question.
No.
Yeah, well...
No, I don't. No, I don't. Because, I mean, there's more risk... Yeah, look, I know that's being... But he's less likely to hurt himself if he's not playing. Yeah, I know that... Look, I know he could hurt himself slipping on tiles at the bottom of his stairs, or he could hurt himself at thing. But look, we just don't need...
How do you know he has tiles at the bottom of his stairs?
Isn't that how Kerno hurt himself?
Patrick Cripps specifically, how do you know that? Oh. Anyway, continue.
Just an internal camera. Internal camera. I just think that there's a risk for injury, but I mean, that's going against everything I kind of believe in, because I'd love the State of Origin kind of thing, and I love the best players playing. As a selfish Carlton supporter, I'd prefer Cripps not to play, but it'd be, it'd still be awesome.
Yeah.
And you're away for it. Would you have gone?
Yeah, I would have gone, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon there's going to be a big demand for it. Yeah. Because is it at Marvel?
Yep.
So that's 50,000, and there's no
Marvel's
way that's
the right
going to be sold out.
For,
I think. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That'll be sold out, and that'll be be quite the spectacle.
Yeah, and like you said before, the course, that's the underlying...
Exactly, yeah.
That's the underlying thing. Yeah, that's great.
Jeez, give all the money you can afford for the cause, because
that's going to generate a lot of coin.
It's going.
I'm not sure how much they're donating.
Well, I think the AFL's already committed 2.5 themselves.
Yep.
Originally, so ticket sales, you assume it's going to be ticket sales. I think tickets are $20 adults, so throw in 50,000 of those, with some kids there, and there'll be donations, there'll be I'd imagine it's going to be a huge title, which is, please go along and spend.
It's a great cause, loving it.
Membership number for 2020, so we had 64,000 last year, which was 8,000 up on 2018. And Terry, where are we now?
It was 54,153 or something like that.
Yeah. That's a good number,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
That's a really
that's
good
a
number.
Good number.
Beat Richmond, you add 10K,
know? Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. But, sitting the post-Christmas period, to have 54 and, whether it's even been necessarily updated that much, because I'm sure the membership department have been on holidays.
Yeah.
They deserve a holiday at some stage. So that's a great number. I'm certain that's significantly up. I think it might have been like 27% or something going back a couple of weeks ago on the previous year, which was a big year.
Well, we had
increase.
A two-win season in 18 and increased membership off a two-win
season.
That's
crazy.
15%.
Yeah. There has to be acknowledgement for the Carlton faithful and for the members. We know it's a big club. They've got a big supporter base, but I remember that the biggest membership we'd ever had, and when I first really, I think the first became a full member, was back in like 2003 or so, and it was off the Wooden Spoon season.
Yep.
And Carlton back then, we had our biggest membership and a big increase off a Wooden Spoon season. That just seems to have continued. So they're big numbers for a team that's not been successful. Richmond have shot up in the last 5 years and gone, for broke, but they've had a lot of success. We haven't, and we're...
It seems like the off. I know it. Everything is what you perceive it to be, but it just really seems the off field is just it's tight.
That they're pulling together.
You know, like the finances and, you know, Kane Little, I think, has got to be acknowledged for that. I think he's done a great job. And whatever model he did at Richmond with the membership, he's obviously
it worked there and it seems like it's working here.
I'm not sure what it is and what the little...
nuances are.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is, but it's clearly working.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's, so we're significantly up. So where do you think it's going to be? Well, 64 last year.
64 last year, which was...
We've got to crack the 70.
Oh, have based to, on that. We?
Well,
to,
that's why to. If we are 3-2, because I think some members are waiting, like some of maybe the older generation that burnt. Are like, if they're not,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
If we beat Richmond, that's a big ask. Let's say we're 3-2 and it's actual improvement. I think we can crack 70.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's buying into this, into the Teague thing. I think everyone.
And talking about sort of 70, talking about that amount of members, how good was it towards the end of the season being at the game?
Oh, it was great.
Like just, we hadn't had that. How many years has it been since we had that? You know, that St Kilda game especially.
That St Kilda game.
It was a 50,000. Yeah. And I mean, there weren't many St Kilda supporters there, let's be honest. Maybe say 35,000 Carlton, 15.
That was great.
St Kilda. But geez, that was loud.
Best day.
Well, what a feeling. And, you know,
the city was ours again.
Yeah.
For, you know, 12 hours. That, but it was that so good.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and that's what I'm just... 2020, please just give me a whole lot more of that.
Yeah.
Give me a whole lot more of that. And if we do, you're right. That membership, that ceiling.
We're a giant. I mean, we're already exploding and we haven't even done anything yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Once
right.
it actually eventuates and we are playing first week of finals... mate.
And, you know, but how good
Terry's
right.
Feel. What other club, though, goes up in membership on a two-win season?
Yeah,
like,
that's
incredible.
Exactly right. It's
incredible.
Know, congratulations to all your members, and probably a lot of you will be listening to this because you're diehard Carlton, but well done, because they're big numbers.
Yep.
And you compare that to other sports around the world. You know, like, you look at other models and that. This the AFL membership in general is just done so well.
Yep.
You think of the city of Melbourne and you add up all the clubs here and who they've got. You're looking at, you know, whatever it ends up being. There's basically 1 in 5 or 1 in 10 sort of people have a membership to a club. It's incredible.
It is. It's very unique. Yeah. We are a very unique club.
Yeah.
Like, I mentioned the St Kildas and the Bulldogs. We have one of the strongest brands.
Yep, absolutely.
In general.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably what goes to show.
And you know what? The kids, those poor suffering kids that have been dragged into being Carlton supporters because their family
are. Why they're Carlton
supporters. Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's give them something to cheer about and hope. I mean,
I don't want to see kids getting picked on at school because they're Carlton supporters.
Yeah, that's got to change.
Right? How did that happen?
I know.
Like
when I was growing up, on those footy days where you could wear your jumper, I was so proud. Yeah. No one could say anything.
Say you always had it back. You always had something you could throw back to any club, to any, and you
exactly
always
right.
walked away the dominant, you know, the winner of any argument there. But
and you look, if you had a Melbourne or St Kilda jersey on, like that was, it wasn't good.
The Carlton theme song, you had to do 3 laps. The Freo one, you didn't even bother with it because no one was a supporter.
All right, let's do some predictions for 2020. Most goals. Who do we think?
I'll go first. I'm going to go with Mitch McGovern for all the reasons we've said before, and I'm expecting that to be above 40. So I'm going to go with McGovern.
Yep.
Yeah, the same. I'm going to go 41 goals. 41 goals for Mitch.
All right.
Eddie Betts with 31.
Oof. Eddie Betts with 31. I'll go Mitch McGovern, 43.
All right.
Love it.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll just keep throwing these around. Jack Nunes, how many games? 2020.
Six.
So this is an interesting one. Like, we almost need to discuss because he's a barometer of how we're traveling in a way.
Yeah, because is he in the best 22? Probably not. He's probably a real fringe.
Look, I'd like to think no.
Yeah.
But he might well be. And that's
so the more games he plays will kind of dictate the injury. So I hope he plays.
Or form or if he's sitting there. So
Seven games?
What are you going? Seven?
Six or seven, yeah.
Six or seven? Got a firm number?
No, I'm not.
Give us a firm number.
I had eight.
There's a slab. There's a slab on the line.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, so, all right. This is getting recorded. So the closest to the pin, the winner gets a slab. I'll say seven.
This is getting recorded, Andy. You're talking into a microphone.
We hope it's getting recorded.
We're recorded up here. I'm
just,
saying.
Just realise the fact.
Is this? Oh, this is actually recording.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm going to say seven. Right. Terry,
I'm going to say eight. But I just have a feeling he could just play 22.
He's got him because it's your age.
Yeah.
Right?
Be smart here, Christian.
I'll go a bit different. I'm going to go, let's go 11. Yeah, 11. I was sort of 50%.
So if he plays the whole season, you win that one.
Yeah.
It's very smart.
It's very smart.
Well, I could have gone even lower, but I thought I'd keep it a bit, you know, could have just gone 8. What did you say, 8?
I said 8.
8, I could have gone 9.
Sort of gut feeling.
A bit sporting, I'll go with the gut feeling of 11. Yeah.
How many times is Matthew Kruse going to have a bandage on his head in 2020?
Well, more times than games he plays, I reckon.
I'm going with 4.
Oh, that's... Jeez, it is fairly rare he gets through a game
without a bandage on the head.
So, victim of fashion.
Yep.
You're going 4? Yeah, I reckon. Yep. I'll go 5.
Terry?
This is going to be the clean year for Cruz.
Oh!
I'm going to go none.
None. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if we continue the drinking games we have played in the past, we could be in trouble if that's the case. It used to be a shot every time you'd go off bleeding
and
come back on. So there are a few wild nights.
Just on him, though, I think he's going to be another one of those guys that, you know, the load management term.
Yep, absolutely.
Surely he's a little bit sore. You can just see him missing 3, maybe 4 games.
Absolutely.
With just soreness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon, of a time he's ever played a full season.
Yeah. I reckon they see him, like, the 100% season for him being that 18 games.
It's
I reckon
15
they,
plus.
Yeah, I reckon they see.
I think 18's being pretty...
I'd love 18.
18's being very
optimistic. I'd be surprised if they let him play 22, though, even if he was supposedly fit. I can't see... I mean, apart from the fact he probably won't with his injuries, I don't reckon the club sees that as full. But yeah, 18 game, wouldn't that be great? And then Pittenet, any thoughts there? Because I mean, we rarely discuss because we don't know a whole lot, do we?
That's, about him. I mean, same. I mean, I've seen him at training.
Yep.
He's definitely a level above TDK when they do their sim.
Yep.
Tom's very athletic. It can jump over him, but Mark seems to have the know-how.
Yeah.
I didn't watch much of him in the VFL last year.
Yeah, I can't say I did either.
I can't really say with confidence he's just going to take that number one rock spot.
Yep.
But love to be proven wrong.
It's interesting, though, because he's next in line when Cruz is not there. He's
I think the model is right this year, because last year there were 3 ruckmen in the VFL team.
Yeah.
How is Tom supposed to develop?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So,
ridiculous.
From that point of view, I like the model.
Yeah. Yep.
And if Cruiser Touchwood does get injured, you know, we do have someone to fill the gap.
Yeah. Yep. We've got a plan A, clear plan A, plan B, and plan C.
Yeah.
And plan C, you know, we don't limit anyone's development based on that because they're not missing out.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Cripps Brownlow tally.
Yeah, good.
So what do you get?
Good.
What do you finish with this year?
Oh, trivia.
He was pushing 30. What did the winner get? They were all pretty close to the high 20s, weren't they? To
crack the,
I think he was equal 5th or something.
Yeah, he was, but was it 27 votes maybe? Or?
Yeah, somewhere. You know what? Doesn't matter because we're talking about 2020, aren't we?
That's right.
So who wants to have a throw at that one?
I'll go.
Yep.
I'll say 23. Yep. And Sam Walsh starts stealing votes off him.
Yeah. Ah, yeah.
That's good. That's exactly
right. Actually, that's what we want. Assuming
that's a full season and he had a good season. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably... 2 guys in the 20 range
would
be a lot better than 1 guy with 25 and the next guy with 11.
Yep. Exactly right.
You know? Yep.
Do you know, this might have been Cripps's... 2019 might have been that might have been his best shot at a Brownlow.
Yeah.
In terms of... You're right. There was the next best player was Sam Walsh. With Brownlow, I mean, there are a lot of good players there now.
He plays that game that the umpires love.
Yeah.
Breakaway speed, you know, all of that.
And he's always in front of them. And let's be honest, he gets a lot of those 3 vote games. And that's the important thing. You have 22 very, very good games.
Yeah.
You get a vote in each of those, you end up with 22.
Yep.
You need to poll those 3s, those best ons. They make a real difference. Oh, I'm going to go, I'll go 25. I reckon that's pretty close to what he got this year. I reckon he'll probably do similar. I go quite conservative.
Yeah, well, I was going to go really high, but Terry made a very
convinced him.
Talk sense.
No, but Terry made a very good point that there'll be votes taken off him. I'm going to go 27 though.
All right, good. That's a good split.
That can win a Brownlow. That
absolutely.
27 that can win a Brownlow.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think it. I mean, does it these days? Jeez, they like remember 30 was just unbelievable. Now it's like I mean,
Dangerfield did it. I think Five get 30.
I reckon he got 36 or something.
Yeah, no, he did.
He went high. He was pretty high.
Yeah, Tom Mitchell got a 30 for sure.
Yeah, Mitchell did, yep.
Yeah.
How do we think the AFLW team's going to go?
Ooh, good question. A bit of respect there. It's hard to tell because Bree Davies moved on and she was that rock. How she's replaced.
Big year for Taylor Harris?
Big year for Taylor Harris, yeah. We made the grand final last year, which might have surprised a little, and when he sort of saw the result, that Crows team were just... absolutely dominant. We're talking about big crowds, 50,000 there for that grand final. So we're runner up last year. So talent's got to be there.
Yep.
Should go one step further.
Yeah. Well, yep. You know what? I'm going to go put it on longer. So, yeah, let's go Premiers.
Yeah, Premiers.
Yeah, I did come into this saying we'd be the Premiers. And I must admit, I don't know a lot about the AFLW. Haven't been around to watch a lot of it. Dan is all ridiculous over it. Yeah. With it. He's a beacon of knowledge with it. Lucy McAvoy is apparently an absolute jet.
Yeah, okay, good.
So very excited about her.
Maddie Prespaskis from last year, he just absolutely killed it.
Yeah, so they should be aiming for the flag, really. Yeah,
let's all go on that one, and it's a good result. All right. Wins or losers. Here's an interesting one. Will Caleb Marchbank kick his first career goal in 2020?
Ooh.
Zero to date. I was just looking through the list and that's somewhat surprised. So I thought I'd throw it in.
I like it. I'm gonna say no. I'm still gonna say no. Based
on trends.
Based on
previous history, I'm gonna go with no as well.
I'll throw something in there. If we keep going falling down those key forwards. Well, he might be thrown forward. Yeah, at some
stage. Well, we do have a lot of depth in the back line.
Yeah, it's exactly right. So, look, I'm going to go. You're going to go, no, I'll go yes, just to keep it interesting. I reckon he's going to kick his first, and hopefully, if he does, he celebrates like he should.
Yeah, gosh, all these ideas are rushing through my head now. Jonesy back to the forward line. He wins a Coleman.
All right, here's one. We kind of touched on it before. Will any of the 2019 draft crop make a debut or play games in 2020,
Terry?
I think Philp will play at the back end. I've seen what I think the recruiters saw. Look, the breakaway speed. You can't catch him when he's in open, when he's got the open field. He's got good chase down speed too. He runs both ways. So I think, let's say 15, 16 games in the VFL.
Yep.
Develop him up. I think he'll play at the end of the year. Another one to look out for. I like Josh Honey.
Yeah,
like the look of him. He's got a bit of Dustin Martin hair. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bit big,
strong body. Yeah,
yeah. Looks... I like what I've seen. But yeah, Phil, I think he's the one.
So you're saying yes. What are
I'll trust in Terry. He's been down to the training. He's seen obviously how he's moving. If Terry believes it's good enough for me, I reckon Phil will play then. Obviously, Kemp's not going to, as we touched on. But he's probably the next best.
And hopefully those others that don't play, and most obviously won't, those have really solid VFL season. And our VFL team to be pushing for finals and to be, that's important for the ones.
It's, because have you ever seen, if you notice, it correlates. There's a correlation between your VFL team and your AFL team. And we haven't.
It's appeared disjointed over the last quite a few years. And as you said before about the ruck situation, far from ideal. It's not good for anybody.
No.
How do you have three lumbering rucks, neither of which have proven themselves as forwards? Yep. How does that work? It's actually a good point. I want to bring it up.
Yep.
The VFL system and the two team, the standalone team, where do you guys sit with it? It's a fascinating discussion.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because it's an interesting split, isn't it, from what the clubs do now.
Because we've made our decision.
Yeah.
So you've got to stick with it for a couple of years now.
Yeah. Look, I love the fact that they're working the northern suburbs and the heartland are working there. You just want to make sure they're bringing in the right players to support.
Mm-hmm.
And, where the emphasis is it on winning for the VFL team or is it about development for the Carlton Football Club?
That's exactly right.
The Carlton Blues, not to say they're mutually exclusive, but I think you just got to be clever with those players you bring in to compliment, dare I say, especially when our list is at where it is now, where it's a lot more settled than it has been in the past. I think we should be bringing players that support what we actually currently we have. But I think winning culture is good culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you're getting that in the twos and you're bringing in players into
they've
the
got
ones,
to be in the finals.
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's because we're talking about our depth.
That's exactly right. And younger players and that.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
They our squad of ideally, I think for the ones we want 30 guys, who at any given time, you can pick and put him in. That's what the Richmond team has been able to
That's
do.
That's what the good teams do. Yeah, exactly right.
So those who are playing in the VFL, like we probably had three guys every week who play a reasonable or good game, who are up for selection. And there's got to be like 5-6 guys who are getting their 25s.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly.
But even defenders, maybe not 25, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I reckon we've had thin, pickings in the past, and we've gone, if someone's kicked a couple of goals, it's like, we're considering them.
Yeah, exactly.
Into the ones. No, let's have a couple of players kicking a couple of goals like that. It could
and
be
show
us
consistently.
And do it a couple of
weeks. Do it a couple of times.
There.
Yeah.
You don't go down there for 1 week, kick a couple and...
So yeah, that's really that Tigers model though, isn't it? And when you think of some of the quality they're able to have running in the VFL, keep them on the list. They don't seem to be too disenchanted. But
Which is amazing in itself, isn't it?
They lose someone. They lose, especially some of those smaller, quick players, those forwards and that. They drop out. They lose nothing by bringing in the best of the rest. So
it comes back down to, you're talking about players being potentially disenchanted in their, in the twos. Comes back down to that winning culture. People want to be on winning teams, want the opportunity. Yep. If you think you're going to be playing for Richmond, you think you're going to be playing in a grand final.
You're going to work hard, aren't you?
You're going to work hard. And that's, again, what Terry said before. It's all about the culture, and it's probably the most important thing we can have.
Yeah. I mean, you look at last year. I mean, we're talking about Paddy Kerr getting a game. But if you really watched him, he wasn't like, he wasn't ready, because he was kicking four goals for the Northern Blues.
Yeah, exactly.
It was
right.
Kind of like, he must be ready to go.
Yeah.
Very interesting one.
And it's a big drop in quality, isn't it? The twos to the ones.
Yeah.
It really is. It's I will try and watch it as much as I can, but I mean, I don't watch every game, but geez, there's some.
You don't get a second chance at AFL in the first. You make that fumble, you're done. You need to be clean. In the VFL, you get that chance. You fumble once, you can still...
You don't pay for it as much. Yeah, absolutely.
So true. I went and watched when we had the double header when we played Richmond. So the Northern Blues played the Richmond VFL side.
Yep.
We're shocking. Shocking. And, obviously Richmond were the best side in the new comp. And, so that's where we've got to get to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're talking, especially now, there's never been more important. It's a whole of club approach and culture. That's inclusive of the VFL team being, the Northern Blues, but also the women's team as well. It's a bit different the days of just having the number one team and everyone else can just please themselves. They're fully embracing the three teams there. And, they train together at times. They train in the same weights room. It is really a whole of culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
A whole club culture, yeah.
Yep.
All right, what do you reckon? Anything else? I mean, I've got one more question.
Shoot.
Where will Daisy Thomas finish in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? Remember, there is a slab on the line here.
He's going to win it.
Don't be.
Surely. I don't watch it. Yeah, but I feel like knowing...
I didn't even know he was on it until like a week ago.
I don't know. I haven't watched it myself. Yeah, my wife's giving me a bit of information.
You watch it.
Yeah, my wife. Yeah, she's the one that tells
it. It's in the background. Oh, he's got that character.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else is it?
You're saying what's that? Brownless,
Oh, he's got character.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
whoever's running Daisy's Instagram account is doing a wonderful job because they're just the themes he's talking about are important, and I just think he's a fan favorite wherever he goes. Yeah. He's got the Collingwood faithful behind him. He's got us behind him.
He's got a.
Does the Collingwood faithful still love him?
I think if you're a premiership player, it's exactly right.
And it's not like he went and punish Collingwood.
No,
they must have been just going like, what have you done?
How good is it that he turned it around though? Like, this is awesome. Such a good story in the end. Yeah, it could have ended so much differently that way. So, I'm assuming there's maybe like 10 contestants in. Is that where we're like 10 to 12?
Why do you lie? No. Christian, stop lying.
Okay, there are 14. There's a few more coming in the house tomorrow. Some of the big names to watch out are. Okay, we'll go with 12 to 14. We're saying he's going to take it out. That's a good get. I mean, he's a football team player. He's used to being in those conditions and being a bit selfless and what do you Andy?
Terry's got for the win. I'll say, well, I've got to go something different now, don't I? He'll come second.
All right. Well, I'm going to play this one strategically.
It's first in best dress in this game.
So I'm going to go third.
Is there anything below that one?
He starts voting for everyone else every night.
But you definitely watch it.
Okay, maybe in the background little bit.
Yeah.
But I do get updates from the wife, so there is that element too. Yep. But maybe you guys should start watching a bit more closely.
Well, when there's a slab on the line.
Well, I mean, I might now.
Yeah, well, have we worked out what slab that might be, or is it just off choice?
If I win, I'll determine. If I lose, just two with red.
A few green demons won't go straight.
Yeah, a couple of hand grenade. The old VB.
You want to go VB?
Hard earned thirst.
If we're going to drink, are we doing a VB then?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah,
let's go.
It's a hard
traditional.
Yeah. All right.
Slab of VB. We'll revisit this as the year goes through.
And it's not going to break the bank.
Maybe the guts. All right. Well, we'll draw to a close. I don't know how long we've gone for, but I'm guessing it's quite a while. But what a pleasure to have you.
It's been great. I really enjoyed it.
Come back anytime.
It's not bad, I reckon, a bit of banter for the first show. And three mics works well, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it does. So. And Terry gives us just a different view because, I mean, you and I have been friends for a long time. It's good to hear it.
Yeah,
a
different, absolutely.
And you, Terry knows your stuff, so it's awesome.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun.
It's been good, and, you know, a bit of a more casual one, more opinion-based, so unlike the last one we did, which is I'm still recovering from. The mind hasn't come back from that.
That was terrible.
Yeah, look, hopefully Dan's okay with this. Yeah. Big shout out, Dan. You're welcome anytime.
I'll be sleeping on the couch tonight.
All right, well, I guess we'll sign off.
Yep.
We are Terry. The Blue Baggers and Blue Abroad.
That's it.
Or half a Blue Abroad.
Half a Blue Abroad.
We'll work with that one.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you,
guys. Go the Blues.
Go the Blues. Go Blues.